Welcome aboard the Highway in the Sky. Please hold on, please hold on. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner, your weekly source for all things related to Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Jordan.
And here's what you've missed since our last stop. All right, for this week's main stop, we're going to have two topics. So I don't know if it's a main stop.
We're having
it
two
has
stops,
two destinations. two stops. We'll say two stops. For this week, we're going to have two stops. First, we're going to talk about the new Disney hotel coming to the Disneyland Resort. And we're going to stay at the Disneyland Resort and talk about kind of more of, not an official announcement, but more concrete.
It is an official
dates.
Announcement.
Yeah. But I mean, it's already been officially announced.
Oh,
but
more
you know
details.
What I mean.
Yes, you're correct.
More details about the Pixar Pier coming next year. It feels like so far away, but it's so close. But first, Jordan or Danny, whoever wants to take this, let's talk about the new hotel. So, can you give us some of the details? Where it's going to be?
I think Danny's the hotel fan. That. So, Danny, take it away.
So the hotel is interesting to me. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, it looks pretty, but the hotel is going to be sitting in downtown Disney. Totally not where I had originally pictured it to be. But the hotel will be in downtown Disney on top of what is currently the AMC Movie Theater, the Earl of Sandwich, the Rainforest Cafe, the ESPN Zone, and the Starbucks and the DVC location right there as well. So that whole part of downtown Disney will be basically deconstructed and leveled for the new hotel, which will sit directly in front of, strangely enough, the Disneyland Hotel, blocking it from downtown Disney. And also, coincidentally, cozying right up to the monorail station, which would then connect that monorail station to the hotel. And the artwork also shows the first level of the hotel being a shopping district. So all shops on the first level, looks like hotel starts above that, with some rooftop restaurants, some possibly what looks like, if you look at the artwork, some rooftop pools, and some water play areas, things like that. It is they said a 700 room hotel, scheduled to open up in 2021, and it is going to be a four diamond hotel, much like the Disneyland Hotel and Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa. So on that level, on that caliber, it is going to have great views, obviously, of course, since it's blocking the Disneyland Hotel and taking all of its views. It is only going to be six floors. Disneyland Hotel will be still higher than that hotel. It looks like, It's interesting to me, its placement. I knew they'd have to announce it soon simply because of the tax break that they were looking for and the deadlines that required. It looks like a great hotel. It's nice that the monorail is going to be right there. I wish they gave us more information on the theme. We have no information on theme yet. It just simply looks like a really kind of modern-esque, like, mix of Disney's contemporary resort and I don't know, something else.
And probably the Jungle Cruise, because I think the one thing they did share was that they're going to be using a lot of greenery and water to try to establish, and I think this is coming from the official announcement from our friends at Disneyland Public Relations, saying that they're trying to create an oasis in the middle of the very busy resort area.
They did say that. They said the only thing that they leaked about the hotel's theming was extensive landscaping and water elements will create a resort oasis, showcasing nature on every level of the hotel.
Absolutely.
So that's the only thing that we have kind of giving us a glimpse into the theming of what the hotel is going to be about.
Sure. Well, let's go into what you said earlier about you're not too sure about this. And then you went on and said, it sounds good, but what is your take on the actual hotel? Is it too big? I know the placement of it. Like, it literally is eating up the west side of the entire resort area. And so, I mean, what are your concerns? Why are you iffy about it?
I don't really have concerns as far as its placement. The only thing that's going to be of concern is for the guests staying at the Disneyland Hotel during the construction of this hotel. So clearly, it's not going to be a pretty thing to look at while they're constructing it. It's also that for anyone that knows the Disneyland Hotel, the tower that it is blocking is the Adventure Tower. And the Adventure Tower on that particular side of the tower has all of the premium views in that hotel that face downtown Disney and the fireworks, as well as the concierge lounge, which you can see as a regular guest just walking, looking at the hotel from a distance, all lit up at nighttime. So I would imagine that that would cause some concern to the guests that are paying full price to stay there during that time. I'm not sure if they're planning on adjusting to that accordingly. I think the placement of it is fine to me. I like the fact that it connects all four hotels in a way, kind of one centralized area. I 100% think that this particular placement and the parking structure are a big fat middle finger to the city of Anaheim, and I fully support it.
Wow, there we go. Dang. We got political, folks. well, I mean, just, I guess, piggybacking on top of that, and I think, you know, this whole project, when they announced it last week, I believe, was, I wouldn't go so far as saying it. I mean, it is a middle finger to the Anaheim City Council, but it was a move. It was a political move because, as you read in our story, if you haven't already, and if not, Andy's going to put that in our show notes on this episode. The reason why they decided to go with this project was because their Eastern Gateway project, which was going to consist of the overhead walkway and a new parking structure off of Harbor Boulevard, was getting a lot of negative press and a lot of negative feedback from business owners who you know, have these really lucrative businesses off Harbor Boulevard. And they're lobbying and toward, you know, folks who are sitting on the city council, as well as the influence that they have on the city and its development and tourism spaces, really kind of just put all of the Eastern Gateway project to a halt, even so far as saying, you know, even preventing Disney from announcing future expansion plans. But with this move of actually not having to get the city council's approval, like Andy and I spoke about on our previous episode when we talked about this, like, this is all land that Disney already owns. And so they they don't need to get that approval from the council. And so that's why we're seeing the slew of announcements coming from the resort that they've been holding back for so long, is because they have the freedom to do so.
Right. That includes the Pixar. It's everything that they wanted to announce at the D23 Expo. Right. And you could tell it very much annoyed Bob Chapek that he couldn't announce it, that they wanted to, and this is now they're able, like you said, they're able to, and I think I think for them it's kind of, you know, it's probably really not their first choice, but if you think about it, they spent a lot of time and a lot of resources planning, you know, it takes all that planning and all of the research and man hours that go into planning the Eastern Gateway, that cost them a lot of money. So for the city to challenge them in the way that they have, they had to then go back to the books and planning and replan all this into a different area, and it may not have been their first choice, and but you know what, they had to make it work, and this is the best second choice in my opinion, and I think it's great for what it is. I like that all four of the hotels are connected.
Sure, but I'm going to push back, really, because it seems like you're seeing the praises of the company, right? Which is good. I think that's a good thing. And I'm sure Andy, you're going to talk in just a second, my friend. So just give me 1 second as I give my piece. But I'm going to take the opposing viewpoint and say that I think, yeah, it's absolutely concerning that, you know, they decided to go with a hotel. although they already announced, you know, that they're going to open another parking structure, which is great. But you got to remember, like, that whole area now is pretty much what people are lovingly calling on social media hotel block now. Downtown Disney has basically now consisting of the resort hotels. And, you know, I think it's a big, big, you know, going to be another big generator of revenue for the company, having more people stay on site, which is absolutely, you know, what they want. Because they can charge premium prices for it, and you know, they have the guests. You know, they're staying on property, therefore they're going to spend more money. That's the logic there, just like any resort operation. But you got to kind of remember to yourself, you know, Downtown Disney too is, you know, it still needs to be a, you know, retail place with food and shopping. And although they already announced that at this new hotel that they're, you know, going to be, you know, new restaurants and whatnot. And this is by rumor, though, I think I can shift my weight to it in regards to what those restaurants are going to be. They're going to be super Disney themed, mainly in the areas of Pixar and Lucasfilm and potentially Marvel. It's still Downtown Disney is not going to be the same anymore. You know, it's still. You know, for people who go there, specifically me, the local, like, you know, it's going to be less useful for me to do that and more useful for the, you know, the people who are staying at these hotels, which, granted, like, I'm happy, you know, Disney's being smart about it. But at the same time, you know, Downtown Disney was a locals kind of area to hang out at. And, you know, I really appreciated what they did. And so for them now build on just catering to their higher paying customers of those who stay, at their hotels, I think kind of blocks us people out. And so, so there's my concern. I will also agree with Danny's concern that, the construction is going to be big. You got to remember this hotel is not due to open until 2022. And that means, you know, if you really think about the construction progress of all the construction that's happening at the resort right now, Star Wars Land would have already opened, Galaxy's Edge would have already opened by 2019, yet there's still going to be a major, major piece of construction happening on that side of the resort, which is going to be pretty messy for, you know, traffic and whatnot. So I don't think the planning, or maybe they got the plans down, but just thinking about it right now, it doesn't seem the most logistically kind to the already, you know, very, very troubled driving through the resort time and experience that we currently have right now without construction. So I think that's going to be a big concern there too. I think, you know, those are my two big concerns, is that one, we're catering to the hotel guests that's paying a couple $100 a night and kind of leaving the locals out, and two, that, yeah, the construction is just going to be a mess, you know?
If I could just say one more thing about,
sure, they may have to have Andy chime in.
Right. And that's why I just said one more thing. But with Downtown Disney, though, Jordan, to counter kind of your argument, truly, it looks like Disney's really just focusing on the needs of each resort. You know, Downtown Disney was something that was shared by a lot of the resorts, you know, with slight variations in the name, like Disney Town or Downtown Disney that used to exist in Florida, and they changed it to Disney Springs, and Disney Springs has its own identity now. It's 100% different than anything Downtown Disney ever was in Florida or here. And this Downtown Disney truly never really worked for Disneyland, in my opinion. It was something that they originally wanted it to be, like this garden shopping center that led to the Esplanade, but everything really just kind of lost its theme. And sure, there were things that were successful. You know, that for the most part, the restaurants in Downtown Disney are very successful, and 9 times out of 10, it's successful with the guests that are staying on property. But the locals really were a bit of a problem for Disneyland, which is one of the reasons why they no longer wanted the House of Blues there, because it caused a lot of problems for them, and that was more local guests than it was hotel guests. Yeah, and changed their
parking rules too.
So, and I think that this is really focusing on what's important to what's going to work for the resort. And I don't think this necessarily is going to be called Downtown Disney anymore in the future. I think it might be called something different.
Hotel Corridor.
it could just be called the Hotel District. You know, it reminds me a lot more of the setup that Tokyo Disneyland has now, more than trying to emulate us more like Florida, which we're not.
Disney Springs,
so it looks more like what the Tokyo Disneyland Resort has.
Sure. Andy, final thoughts on this, my friend.
I don't like the concept.
Woo, he's on my side.
At all. I like when I saw it, like I was kind of excited for this hotel, and again, I think we've kind of been spoiled about the other Disney hotels that have been announced and, you know, recently opened, like the Toy Story one in Shanghai and that Star Wars one.
That's coming.
That's coming to the Disney World. I didn't think it would be at the level.
That, Andy.
Yeah, it's just like when you see this hotel, it's just this white beige building with, I mean, trees and a little fountains. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully it has more life to it. I mean, I was expecting something more.
Well, they're going for high. They're going for high, and if you zoom in or on a high resolution copy of one of the art photos that we have on our website or on the Disney Parks blog, you can see this. They have like placeholder shops in there, and one of them's Coach. So you can see the kind of clientele they're going for with those shops, and it's actually a lot similar to what Disney Springs has now in Walt Disney World. So, you know.
But the problem still, even like the Grand Californian is a 5-star hotel, I assume, right?
No, they're all just 4-diamond hotels with the AAA rating.
But still, it just like that has a hotel with like life to it. It has a California, you know, kind of
it has a theme.
Northern
yeah,
California.
Which you kind of like expect staying at a Disney resort is for it to have a theme. I totally get what
and
you're
then
saying.
This one. But just by looking at it, and again, it's really early. It just seems like they're building a. I mean, they're just building a hotel, and they just didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. It's like we got a hotel, we got to do it fast. Oh, let's just. It doesn't seem Disney. If this was a hotel in, let's say, another resort area, let's say like, I don't know, like Hawaii. Sure,
mm-hmm.
It would have been fine in terms of its design, because those hotels, with the exception of the Aulani, you don't need a nice fancy Disney, you know, themed mm-hmm. hotel outside of Vegas too, I guess. But it just, even though it's a luxury hotel, it just it doesn't have that Disney oomph mm-hmm. to it.
I don't know if it was Jordan
I don't
said
know.
It, I mean, or I can't remember who, but they said, oh, congratulations, they're building their own version of the, like, not the residence inn, but like the embassy suites or something, because it just looks like
that's
a really
what it feels
nice,
like
hotel.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It just, and the parts of Downtown Disney that it is killing, to be honest, I'm not going to miss too much, because I've been made it really well known that I hate the ESPN zone. So I'm glad that's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
The Rainforest Cafe, I'm sad to see it go.
Oh, come maybe. On.
I mean, just the fact that it's always been
wow.
there, and I mean,
the Rainforest Cafe in
it,
and of itself isn't unique, because it was like in malls across America before the mall started to die. But it was unique, like what Andy was saying, because it was there from the beginning.
And I mean, for a Rainforest Cafe, it's pretty nice.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, they have that Mayan temple.
Yes.
And then the movie theater. I've seen movies there.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
I mean, I don't go out of my way to see it. The last movie I saw was Jurassic World there, and the only reason why I saw it is because
did you go to Disneyland
we
after?
Couldn't get tickets. No, because it was at midnight. So it was a midnight showing of Jurassic World, and that was literally the only theater that had openings.
Nice. So what you're trying to say is that you're a traditionalist, and you wish they didn't touch Downtown Disney from its original form.
No, I'm sad that a good chunk of it's going,
sure.
But I get it.
But as it's we just, talked about before, you wanted ESPN Zone to die, and look it's dead.
I thought, yeah, you're right.
Anyways.
It's being replaced with this, and that's what I'm disappointed with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it has time to blow me away, and I'm sure at some D23 down the line, they're going to be more detailed about it instead of just showing vague concept art.
Yeah, we will get an expo before.
The only thing I was going to ask Jordan about, just because I hadn't read anything and I'm sure you got some more information. Did we get any details about if any part of this hotel was going to be Disney Vacation Club?
No, that wasn't announced yet.
Okay.
If at all.
Well, as soon as we find out, we will let
everybody know. Yes. All right, Andy, what's next? Final stop.
We're going to DCA and the Pixar Pier. So today, this very day, November 2nd, Disney announced more details about what's coming to the Pixar Pier and when stuff is going to close and a launch date. So, Jordan,
yes,
lay it on us since yes. you did the hotel or Absolutely. Since Danny did the hotel.
Absolutely. And I think this is more of my topic, and I think I already have an opinion on it.
I've been dying to find out Jordan's opinion.
Yes, I have kept quiet for quite some time. The project Pixar Pier was actually previously announced at the D23 Expo this past year. Again, chairman of Parks and Resorts, Bob Chapek, didn't really give too much detail. Apart from him and John Lasseter in a very, very over-the-top way, because he's John Lasseter, decided to tease and tell everybody that, yeah, they basically were going to change the entire Paradise Pier into Pixar Pier. And please forgive my alliteration, because we're just going to be going Pixar Pier, which is part of Pixar Fest, already announced as part of the summer at the parks, the Disneyland parks. I digress. They said they were going to change everything. And what I mean by change is that they were basically going to retheme or reskin, or how they like to say, reimagine all their attractions that sit in that area next to what is currently known as Paradise Bay. But apparently that's going to be changing too. Maybe. Not sure. Going back to Pixar Pier, we got more details on what will be changing. And so you really have to think about it in what they call four neighborhoods, right? They're turning the whole entire area from Ariel's Grotto and Cove Bar all the way to what was the Malibuumer area, right? Stuck in between what is previously now going to be called California Screamin'. And they're splitting that into four parts. And I'll start with the left. If you're looking at it from, you know, a traditional DCA park map view, we're going to start on the left, and that starts with the California Screamin'. We will start with Ariel's Grotto. There we go. Ariel's Grotto, you know, it's been there. It's a good restaurant. I think more people went there for the Cove Bar and the lobster nachos. But we already announced as part of this move that they are actually going to be retheming that and turning it into, and I quote, a new lounge and grill. They did not say the theme. I don't think it is Toy Story, according to the official announcement again from Disneyland Public Relations, but it will not be the same. And for some reason, this is all going to be in the... They made it part of the Pixar Pier announcement, so who knows? It could be a Pixar-themed thing, but they're just apparently not ready to announce that yet. Maybe. We're not sure. But anyways, that's the change. Any of you lobster nacho loving people out there, or Ariel's Grotto loving people out there, make sure you head to those locations before January 8th. And let's just keep that in mind. January 8th, it's a very important date. But January 8th is the last time you can get lobster nachos, as we can tell for now. Up until April, which then, you know, Cove Bar will reopen briefly, and then it will go down to complete the whole entire transformation. So there's that.
Jeez, it already has a long enough line.
Yes. So there, it's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if they had FastPass for it one day. So there's that. And moving right along, following the pathway left, we will hit another, or I guess technically this is the other area. This is area number two, and this is going to be dedicated to, or the neighborhood number two, and this is going to be dedicated entirely to the Incredibles. So with that said, the only attraction that's in this neighborhood is California Screamin'. But we are going to say goodbye to California Screamin' and the voiceover from Neil Patrick Harris shooting you off into this very, very fun roller coaster, and it will be changing into what I believe happens to be, you know, a pretty cheesy but also pretty funny name, and that's called, drum roll please, the Incredicoaster. I know. See, look, we didn't even get a reaction, not a yay or anything from you guys. Come on. There. So I'm not kidding you. Like, that is the name. That is the name of this new coaster. It is themed to The Incredibles. It's called The Incredicoaster. They're going to be adding a new loading area with this mid-century kind of house that looks very much like this the house that Bob Parr and the rest of The Incredibles live in. And then they're going to be changing the theme and the colors of the actual ride vehicles themselves, the coaster cars. And so there's that. There's the Incredibles area. Now, we keep on making our way around down Paradise Pier into, before we get into the third neighborhood, there's this weird area that really hasn't been addressed, or an attraction that hasn't been addressed, and that's King Triton's Carousel. So another, you know, Little Mermaid themed attraction, kind of separate from Ariel's Grotto, kind of randomly put there, and it had been there since the opening of DCA back in 2001. But they really didn't touch on that at all, actually, in the announcement. So, but according to the art, the high res art that, you know, they distributed along with it, the concept art, you really can't tell what that is, you know.
The roof looks changed, like, though.
Yeah,
they painted
a wall around it and like a waterfall.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to be part, you know, we don't know, I should say, if that's going to be part of the Incredibles area, or that's going to be tied more closely to the third neighborhood, which is Toy Story, which is already, you know, the anchor attraction there is the Toy Story Midway Mania, though they changed the branding of that and they only call it Toy Story Mania now. I don't know what's happening there, but we will move on to the third neighborhood. And yes, it's going to be Toy Story themed. And the anchoring that land is going to be the existing Toy Story Mania. From what we understand now, that attraction will not change, though, in the concept art, again, that we will reference to, it seems like it did get a paint job. And so I think at the very least you will get that. And then hopefully they really fix, Imagineering really fixes Mr. Potato Head, because the Mr. Potato Head, Boardwalk Barker, here we go with the alliteration again, it always breaks.
It's so one of the coolest things they've
done.
It
is.
And, like, I've mentioned it before, when it calls you out, like, based on what you're wearing, when the first time that happened, it freaked me out.
I know. It's like, called Disney Magic, my friend. But Disney Magic with Mr. Potato Head, you know, they should really honor Don Rickles, the late Don Rickles. They should really fix it. So, anyways, I will move on. And so moving on to the last neighborhood, is going to be what they call Other Pixar Stories. And so that includes it basically includes the remaining part of the pier. So that includes the boardwalk, what is currently the Boardwalk Games, Mickey's Fun Wheel, and where Malibuumer was. And so addressing each of those individually, one, you know, there are already two games that Boardwalk is already themed to Pixar characters. So those will not change, though the other games that are on the boardwalk will change to reflect Pixar characters. Mickey's Fun Wheel, Mickey will still remain on the Fun Wheel. It's still Mickey's Fun Wheel, though, again, that's probably a branding thing that just honestly doesn't make any sense to me. They're going to keep Mickey on the Fun Wheel, and it looks like they're going to be doing a paint job on that Fun Wheel, but they will change. The only thing that will make it Pixar is that each of the gondolas will have a Pixar character
on
it now. That will lead me to, if it sounds weird, that will lead me into my final point and my opinion on all of this. And then lastly, where the Malibuumer was, they say they're going to be building a family-friendly attraction based on Inside Out. And if you look really closely, if you, again, download or look at the high-res concept art footage, image that we have, you can zoom in and you can see it kind of looks like the memory wall Joy,
like,
and sadness go on their journey. Yes, in Riley's head.
It looks
head.
Like a reskinning of Flix Flyers.
It does. It's kind of like, it. From what we know now, yeah, this could, you know, it could change. But yeah, it does look like it's this kind of like gondola ride and just goes up and down. And so it's pretty tame. But again, there's only so much you can do in that very small space that's tucked right into that turn for the Incredicoaster. And so, yeah, anyways, and then the last part that they really didn't address that really isn't counting as a neighborhood because it won't be Pixar themed is going to be a new area called, quote unquote, new area called Pixar Park. And that will can that will still include the Paradise Garden Grill, Boardwalk Pizza Pasta, and the seating area, and Goofy Sky School, and the Silly Symphony Swings, and then that other one,
the Zephyr,
the kids one. The what's the it Zephyr? Called? The Zephyr's staying, which totally I don't get. And then no, the other one, the up and down, the jelly, Jumpin' Jellyfish. There we go. So that will all remain as part of this new area, quote unquote new area.
Let me just correct Jordan really quick. It's called Paradise Park.
Paradise Park, my bad.
You said Pixar Park.
Pixar Park. Okay, there we go. Real quick. So now you know all of that, and you know what it looks like for what we know now. You got to remember, like, this is not technically new. And throughout this entire announcement, and the way that Disney's trying to swing it is that they're calling all of this new. And yes, it is, because you know they're changing the theme and they're trying to change the story. But at the heart of it, California Screamin's, the track and all that other stuff is not changing. You know, it's not going to be a new, entirely new ride. None of these are going to be new rides. None of these games, you know, or I mean, some of the games might be new, but from what we understand right now, like, they're just going to be peeling the wallpaper, so to speak, and plastering it back up. And that's basically what I'm seeing here, is that, you know, this is a very easy way for Disney to, you know, take something that's existing and plaster a new theme onto it, call it new, and then hopefully drag more people to go to it. And I think that's an effective strategy. I think that's really smart. No doubt, I think the Disney fan and the Disney pass holder is probably getting a really good kick out of this right now. But, you know, it's something that's not going to hold over, at least for me, in my opinion, it's not going to hold over long. I think, I think that's also technically the point, right? Like, this is going to be opening right now, they say, in summer of 2018. And by the way, I should have mentioned it earlier because I told you to remember it, January 8th, that's an important date because that's when all of the attractions will go down as well. California Screaming, Mickey's Fun Wheel, Toy Story Midway Mania will still remain open, but those two attractions will shut down in order for the transformations to happen, which are due to open 6 months later in summer of the same year. And so they're being really aggressive with this opening, but I think it's a perfect diversion, really, and that's what I put in our article here, is that it's a perfect diversion to get more people to go to DCA, because the moment 2019 hits and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, people are going to forget about this thing. I guarantee you. It will not be on anybody's radar. The Incredicoaster, as incredible the name is, will be gone from people's minds. And so that's my only thing, is that it was a cheap way for them to create a quote new thing, but it's just going to be a holdover to what will come in 2019. So,
well, also just kind of just walking around Paradise Pier, and you kind of said it, like, the story of it, it doesn't really have one, it feels. It's mm-hmm. it's just okay, yeah, it's like a early 20th century, late 18th or 19th century carnival thingy.
Right.
Like, at the, like, Coney Island, so to speak. And, I mean, essentially, California Adventure is Pixar land now, sort of, because with the Bugs Land and
Cars Land
and Cars
yeah, that's
land.
So true. I never thought about that, and it's a great point.
This is essentially the mm-hmm. one more step in the Pixar takeover. So I mean, it makes sense, and it's one more step of this not really being California Adventure, this being, you know, something entirely new. Once
totally
the Marvel theme comes in, and then Condor Flats, or what's it called now? Is it Condor?
Grizzly Peak Airfield.
Grizzly Peak Airfield. That's probably going to get a retheming soon, too, because that seems really out of place, because now they have Pixar everywhere and then Marvel. And
sure, but what do you think? You know, I'll direct your thought just a little bit, and then we'll go to Danny. Like, what do you think about them just doing this as a holdover?
I agree with you. It's just, I think they're doing it because they can. And they just spicing up an area that kind of needs spicing up, because there's a lot of dead space there, because the Malibu Boomer, I mean, there hasn't been anything there since that left, and that left quite some time ago. And I mean, it's just Toy Story Mania is kind of the focal point, so again, it makes sense, and it it's probably the easiest thing they can do and the fastest thing that they can do and the, probably the cheapest thing that they can do to revitalize.
So will you enjoy it as a, in your opinion, do you think it's something that you'll like want to come back to over and over again?
I think I'll just treat it like Paradise Pier. I mean, it's not going to, I'm not, it's just going to stay the same. I'll go to it when I want to, but I'm not going to go out of my way to go to the Pixar Pier.
Yeah,
because the Incredicoaster is still going to be California Screaming to me, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to call it the Incredicoaster. It's still California Screaming, even though the name is so incredible. It's like with Star Wars Land, no one's going to call it.
No one's going to call it the Incredicoaster. Yeah,
yeah, it's California.
Or they Screaming. Will actually, because it's so memeable. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like a meme.
Unless like in the tubing meme. Thing, they're going to have like his name's Dash, correct?
Yeah.
Like have Dash or other incredible characters like yell at you.
During the attraction, yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
I mean, if they're gonna do something like that, I mean, they'll make it more memorable. But I mean,
it's still the same thing.
Yeah,
everything's still the same.
That's one ride you can't really change since it's an outdoor roller coaster, unless they add
VR, which is a big thing. But I don't think they're gonna do that.
Well, I mean, I've seen commercials at Six Flags where they have Gear VRs.
I know you're comparing Six Flags to Disney. I don't think you can be on this podcast anymore.
No, I'm just saying.
Sorry.
Disney's way better than.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, we're gonna go to Danny. Danny, what say you?
So I have a couple things. I agree with Jordan, but I also counter it with. You have to remember, back when they were doing the complete redesign of Disney California Adventure from Disney's California Adventure, they had plans for Disney's Paradise Pier. But they never did anything with it. They left it as is. They cut the budget by a lot in different areas, and that the only thing that was touched in that area was the Paradise Park area, which had the Boardwalk Pizza and Pasta and the Paradise Garden Grill and the Goofy Sky School, and they did such a good job with that area. And that was the only place that they dedicated money to. The rest of Paradise Pier just got some placemaking with some retheming of like the food carts and some extra trees put in here and there. And, you know, just to make it look a little bit nicer. And then the games of the boardwalk were redone. But they never really got a theme. And of course, Mickey's Fun Wheel took over from the Sun Wheel. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is better than what we had, which was no theme.
True.
This is an area that's now themed. It has a cohesive theme for the entire area, and it's an area that's kid friendly, adult friendly, and you know is an area that makes sense for that area. The Mickey's Fun Wheel remaining Mickey and Mickey's Fun Wheel is so strange to me, but you're right. It's probably a branding thing. There's probably too much investment on branding for Mickey's Fun Wheel being the icon for Disney California Adventure Park, where if they removed it, it would just be pretty substantial as far as having to rethink all of that. Because if you remember the artwork that they debuted at the D23 Expo, when you zoomed in on the Fun Wheel, it did say Pixar Fun Wheel, and it had Luxo as the icon.
Yep.
So they did have, in my opinion, originally probably have plans to change the Fun Wheel to the Pixar Fun Wheel and had Luxo instead of Mickey, which would have made more sense. But you're right. It's probably a branding thing. So they needed to leave Mickey as the icon. For you know backdrops like such as World of Color and things like that, because having you know Pixar as Luxo. The background of World of Color may not make sense if it's a show that has nothing to do with Pixar.
Yeah.
So you know having Mickey as the backdrop for World of Color makes more sense for those you know media shots, things like that.
I mean, he's still the mascot of the company.
Andy picked up on an interesting thing, though. The newest artwork that debuted today on November 2nd actually shows the tunnels on the roller coaster completely closed off. The purpose of the tunnels are just to block out the noise from screaming guests from the outer city. But now these tunnels on this artwork are completely closed.
Yeah.
So you might have maybe previewed something, Andy, as far as like maybe there are going to be projections inside those tunnels that have to do with the Incredibles that are a really easy way for them to retheme it and give it a storyline.
using their favorite thing ever, which is projections.
Yeah, because it's the most effective.
Yeah, that could be a thing, because they are completely closed off, at least in the artwork. Maybe it's just simply closed off because it's easier to draw that than it is to draw the little slats in it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? But overall, I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to like draw someone in that, you know, to come specifically see it. It makes perfect sense for their whole Pixar Fest, so it's really easy for them to kind of bring together this giant marketing campaign.
Yep.
You know, with all that, and how cool will the Pixar Pier look with, you know, Paint the Night as, you know, in the background too. So it's all coming together nicely. It actually is kind of funny though that Jordan and I were talking about the Bugs Land with how the Inside Out attraction looks like a reskin of Flix Flyers. I actually read on Twitter, someone tweeted that they wouldn't be surprised if Disney announced the closure of Bugs Land and then used Flix Flyers and reskinned it for that attraction. Mm-hmm. Because they actually indicated in the article that that Inside Out attraction wouldn't be coming right away. So with this...
Yeah, it's going to take...
It's not going to be something that's going to be coming by next summer where everything else is there. It's going to be something that happens later on.
Yeah.
So maybe it will coincide with that, and maybe the Marvel themed area will be where Bugs Land is at.
There you go.
Well, also
who knows?
And also Pixar makes sense because that's the easiest, most iconic characters that Disney has outside of Mickey, you know? And the like, Pixar's kind of their, other than Disney animation films, Pixar's kind of, you know, what Disney's known for in the past 20 years. So it does make sense that they're giving it more of a voice in the parks because it's such a prominent part of their animation now.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing too overall. But you got to remember, like, you know, as this changes and this starts to morph DCA, like, you know, Disney Parks never really had a cohesive theme throughout the whole thing, but, you know, they might, you know, it's not going to be Disney California Adventure the more and more they keep on shoving in all their franchises into this thing, right? With the, you know, impending announcement of Marvel, the Marvel themed area, you know, and now Pixar, and then, and, you know, I mean, really, like you just mentioned, Andy, like the only untouched areas that don't have franchise attractions are Grizzly Peak Airfield and Hollywood Land, or not even Hollywood Land. I mean, yeah, Hollywood Land, but not really Hollywood Land. And Buena Vista Street, obviously. And so,
but that is not going to change, I think, because that's like
But you know what I mean. Like California Adventure, it would be wrong of us not to notice that, right? Like it's slowly becoming franchise land. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good thing in doses, but I think that's something that people just need to also realize that it's a business strategy, and hopefully they do it tastefully, right? Hopefully they don't just slap the franchises everywhere and do it for the sake of money, but do it for the sake of experience.
If we're going based off track record, I mean, we all had nothing but praises to say about Guardians of the Galaxy, so if this reskinning goes as well as that one, then, yeah, you know, I am fully on board. It would be nice to know if Joe Rohde was going to be on board for this one, because then we'd know. But I think I'm more nervous about what the Cove Bar and Ariel's Grotto are going to be. Because I think
that is the true question.
I think the theme of that is going to be so pivotal to the success of that restaurant.
So, yeah, I agree. Well, and again, that's going to be that's the eastern flank of the of what will be Pixar Pier. So it needs to be a good welcome.
A quick little note too.
Yes, as we wrap up,
it makes perfect sense too that they called the second half Paradise Park, because there was already existing signage with that name, because the area that they have guest World of Color in is called Paradise Park, and so there were plaques that indicated that. So it makes sense to me why they would just adopt that name, because that name's already been used. So
there you go.
Well, just should this be another topic for another week, but since the Paradise Pier is going away, what about the Paradise Hotel?
They didn't assume
You can't have...
would it be...
I would assume that you can't have a Paradise Pier hotel without a Paradise Pier. So...
There you go. That's a good question, Andy. The controversy continues.
The pie in the sky. Please hold on. Please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Monorail Blue. If you like this episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave your feedback. Give us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the podcast. In addition, if you want to send more detailed feedback, please send us an email at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com. Also, please give us a visit at our social media pages at Monorail Blue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, please follow at Disney Examiner for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.
We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle. You can also see Disney's mountain range, Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain in Frontierland, and Space Mountain in Tomorrowland. To the right-hand side...